Psalms chapter 91, and we will read verses 11 and 12. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your promise and we thank you for your word. But Lord, I know there is so much more to your word that if we keep digging, we'll never find the bottom. And I pray today, Lord, you bring some truth to the surface. Lord, I pray you bring conviction where we need conviction. I pray you bring understanding where we need understanding. I pray you bring hope. I pray you bring direction. Lord, to everyone who sits here, Lord, I pray you bring to them what they need to hear through your word and the reading of your word. So be with us and guide us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of Psalms, really my favorite book in the Bible. It's a book of songs, poems or songs, and I'm a musician, I'm a songwriter, and I love how many times I would grab my guitar and I would just open up the Bible and just start singing and playing these words. Because they're songs, they're poetry. As I told you guys last week, the Old Testament is broken up into five different sections. We have the law, we have history, we have poetry, we got major prophets and minor prophets. So we're in the book of poetry, which is Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Songs of Songs. Poetry. They're creative. They're full of imagery. They're full of descriptions and songs and poems, like I said. And so these sort of things are kind of open to interpretation. We could go to the Louvre in Paris, and we could all look at a picture, a painting, and we could all kind of see something else in it. And so there is some room in poetry for interpretation, seeing what it has to say to us. And so I love the creativity in the book of Psalms. So we're diving into that today. The book of Psalms is broken up into five separate books. I don't know if you know that. You just read chapter after chapter, but there are, depending upon your version of the Bible, it is broken up into five separate books. And some theologians believe that each one of these books and Psalms overlap with the first five books of the Bible. And the theme of Genesis is the first theme of the book of Psalms, the first book of Psalms. The theme of Exodus is the second book of Psalms. And so there's like these different themes or ideas as it was compiled together. The book of Psalms is written by many different authors. Primarily, we attribute it to David, King David, who was a poet. He was a musician. He was a king. And he wrote a lot of Psalms, but not all of it. Some of his contemporaries wrote some of the Psalms, as well as his son Solomon is attributed to a few, as well as a few others, including Moses. And we're reading chapter 91. Chapter 90 is the start of book 4. And 90 is written by Moses. And there's a whole bunch of other authors that we don't know. It'll say anonymous. And if you read chapter 91, it's written by anonymous. But some believe it was actually Moses. Looking at what he's talking about, it sounds like Moses, or there's some attributes of it to be Moses. And so we're diving in to this, we want to look at this verse about angels, which I think we know, and sometimes we pray for our guardian angels, but do we fully understand the concept and the truth behind that? And if I was to write a song or a poem, as an author, wouldn't I want you to be able to pick up pretty quickly what the point is? It's like a chorus in a song. The chorus is usually pretty easy to understand. Oh, that's what we're singing about. In a poem, you want people to understand what's the story about? What's this poem about? And I believe in a song or in a poem, many times you would give that point almost right away. You'd have it at the beginning or the end, or you'd hit it a couple times throughout the poem. And we're going to find that here in chapter 91, that I believe the beginning sets the stage. Everything else after it is predicated on the first verse. So let's dive in. Chapter 91, We're going to try to get to these verses that we just read and we're focusing on, but we got to get there. We got to get the context. So chapter 91, verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Where do you live? What town do you live in? What state, country? Where do you live? I'd assume live in a house somewhere. You've got a bed, maybe a living room and a kitchen. Where do you live? Where do you abide? Where do you spend most of your time? Now, we visit places. We go to our in-laws. We go on vacations. We go to different places. But we visit those places. But as my wife and I always learn, we love our bed. Our bed is so comfortable. And we travel, we're in a different bed, and we come home, and you crawl in and just go, oh, I miss my bed. Where do you abide? Where is your home? Where do you spend your time? Where is our home supposed to be? In the shelter of the Most High, in the protection, in the fortress, in the castle of God. This is where we're supposed to live. This is where we're supposed to be. Now, we can go out and get crops and go traveling, but we come back and we are in the shelter of the Most High. Is that where you live? And there I will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Anybody here could use a little rest? I know sometimes I'm not too dynamic and you get rest during the service, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, let's see if we can stay awake. Anybody use some rest? You look in this world and go, can we just take a break from all this crazy madness that's going on? I could really use a break. I could really just wake up and just not worry about anything. Anybody want that? Where do we find rest? In the shadow of the Most High. This is poetry. Imagine that. What is the shadow of the Most High? To be in a shadow, if I was in Tam's shadow, I'd have to be pretty close. If I'm going to be in the shadow of God, I've got to be pretty close. But tell me about a shadow. Can you touch it? Can you smell it? Sometimes you can't even see it. You can see it on something else. But if you're in the middle of a shadow, can you see it? Not really. It's mysterious. It's this other place. It's not tangible. And you're going to see this as we go throughout this, that being in God's presence is not a physical place. It's a spiritual place. We need to be in God's house, in God's refuge, and we need to be in His shadow. We need to be close to Him. That's the main theme as we dive into the rest of this reading. Verse 2. This I declare about the Lord. Emphasis added. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. He alone is my refuge and safety. Where's your refuge? Where do you go for safety? Is it your bank account? Is it your 401k? Is it a certain relationship? Where is your safety? Where is the place you run to? Is it the 9mm that's back to your body right now? Is that your safety? Is that your refuge? I don't know. I'm just, for instance. Where is your safety? Where do you go to when things are rough? Where are you supposed to go? God. To His fortress. He is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and that last line, I will trust Him. I trust Him. Do you trust God? What are you going through right now, that thing you keep praying about that's not taking place right? You look at the world and go, something's off. Do you trust God? Because I'm going to step on your toes right now. You ready for this? Because if you do not trust God, stop reading. because the rest of this chapter is for those that are in the shelter of the Most High, those that are in the shadow of the Most High, and those that trust God. If you want the rest of this verse and you don't have those check marks in your life, stop reading, because it doesn't apply to you. Wow, Pastor, that's really encouraging. Tell me not to read the Word. Let's keep going. If you think we're having fun so far, here we go. Verse 3. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the deadly disease. Ooh. Should we talk about a disease? No, I'll circle back to that. Little tease. We're not going to talk about that quite yet, but I'll circle back to that. But He will rescue you and protect you. We'll get to that. Verse 4. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Imagery, pictures, okay? Kids in your coloring, they're building like a castle. They're building like a fortress type thing, okay? Because that first verse we're looking at is this refuge, this shelter. That's an imagery of who God is. But for some of you, that's not how you see God. You know, some of you, we live in a big castle with cannons and howitzers and nuclear bombs, and that's what God does to protect us. But some of you imagine God is a mother hen with some wings that covers you and protects you, and that makes you feel happy. Whatever. How do you see God? That's who He is. He protects you. And sure, He could be a fortress, He could be a mother hen, however you see it. But the key verse, the key line I see in there is His faithful promises are your armor and protection. What is God's faithful promises? Oh. This is what protects you. Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. Man, it seems like I'm getting hit from all angles, and this has fallen apart, and this has failed, and I've lost this, and it's just, I don't know what to do. Well, have you been in the Word? Well, kind of. Do you read the Word? Well, on Sundays, I look at the screen. My Facebook, I got a few people that put encouraging things. Do you read the Word to understand His faithful promises? Well, I guess I could be better at it. Okay, then let me explain it to you why everything has fallen apart in your life. Because your protection comes from that. It's like going in the battle and you get to the front lines and you look at all your troop mates and they look at you and go, where's your helmet and your flak jacket and your weapon and where's your armor? Oh, I forgot to do that. Church, you got to read the Word. And not today. Tomorrow, the next day. You have to understand God's faithful promises. You don't do it. Well, no wonder everything's falling apart. Because we need to have His protection, which we get from reading the Word of God. Verse 5. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. How'd you sleep last night? Nor the arrows that fly in the day. Some of us believe that when we are in a relationship with God, wrongly believe, that all these physical attacks disappear. They're all gone. I must be in trouble because I keep on having these things. God doesn't guarantee that the arrows disappear or the terrors disappear. He doesn't. Why? Because those are physical things. And if you're living in a physical home, world, and that's all you're consumed about, all you're thinking about, and all these things are hitting you, no wonder you feel like your world's falling apart. But God's sitting there going, why are you freaking out about arrows? You think that's bad? There's more to come. They're going to keep coming. Well, God, you got to take them all away. That's not what I do. Why don't you come over here and live in a spiritual world close to me? But God, when I go there, there's still attacks. Well, of course, there's still physical things. But where are you living? Out there in the physical. God doesn't guarantee that all these physical things will disappear. He guarantees when you're in His presence that He will protect you. But it also says, do not be afraid. Is there anything you're fearing? Losing your job? Losing your health? Losing your life? Losing your finances? Losing your spouse? Losing your kids? Is there anything you're fearing right now? Stop it. You're not supposed to be afraid of these things, but when we live outside the presence of God, we're terrified. We're terrified. Verse 6. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes in midday. Second half of that, disaster. Earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, tornadoes. They're going to strike. God doesn't go, oh, I'm just going to take all those away. They're going to strike in the middle of the day. They're going to hit us. Guaranteed. But also, do not dread, do not fear the disease that stalks in the darkness. Oh, what's the disease? Should we talk about a virus? No, not yet. We'll come back to that. Verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Ooh. Now we're talking about again. Are there people dying by the thousands around us? Famine? Earthquakes? Hurricanes, war, disease. It's all around us. And he says, these will not touch you. Well, Pastor, there's people I know that love God, that this is touching them, affecting them. People are dying all around you. How can you guarantee that this will not touch you? Where are you living? You see, it all predicated upon where's your home? Because if your home is in the shelter of the Most High, if your home is in the shadow of the living God, disease cannot touch you. You're putting through your processes right now going, this isn't adding up. When you live in God's presence, where is God's home? Heaven? Is there any disease, war, famine, viruses in heaven? Nope. It can't go there. It doesn't go through customs properly. It gets checked at the gate. Sorry, disease, you can't go there. When I live in God's spiritual place, in the presence of God, when I live near Him, nothing can hit me. But Pastor, there's God-fearing people that are getting the disease. Yeah, physically. But that can't stay with them. Where are you living? Are you living in this world and freaking out in this world? Or are you living in a place where none of that matters? Sure, it might sting me. I might have arrows I got to take out every single day. But the plague cannot touch my home. Not 561 Lake Avenue. The plague cannot touch my home. It will not touch me. It cannot go there. I want to live there. And when I'm in that place, I'm at rest. Where are you living? Verse 8. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Remember Katrina on the big talk? It was a hurricane and God was trying to punish the people of New Orleans and the weak churches that were in that area. God was punishing. God punishes the wicked. How does He punish the wicked? Famine, disease, catastrophes. Wars. That's how He punishes them. Read the history books. That's how He punishes them. Yeah, but that stuff affects us too. No, it doesn't. See how the wicked are punished. The difference is the wicked people live in this physical world and they freak out. Lord, let the disease not get my children. I don't want to lose my job. oh no, here comes another hurricane. And now there's more mandates. And they're freaking out in this physical world of all the damage and destruction that can come their way. That's how they're punished. The terrors in the night. The laying there with their eyes wide open going, oh no. And then it comes and it's over. And yet the person that is in the shadow of the Most High sits there at night and goes, I just lost my job today and got the virus. But I have a home in heaven. And they close their eyes and they go to sleep. Where are you living? Because God punishes. They're being punished. Open your eyes. They're being punished because they're living in the wrong place. They're living in a physical world, and God wants you to live in His presence in the shadow of the Most High. Verse 9. If, everybody say if. If you make the Lord your refuge. Well, that sounds familiar. If, everybody say if. If you make the Most High your shelter. This is important. See, everything after this is based upon if you're doing this. So again, if you're not doing this, just take a nap. Just ignore what I'm going to say because it doesn't apply to you. But if it does, this is what applies to you. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, verse 10, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Where is your home? Has the plague been in my home? My house, 561 Lake Avenue? Maybe. We had some tests and some negative tests. Poor kid Andrew kept on getting quarantined all last year. He was fine all year long. Did the plague come near my home? Maybe. I know it's come in many of your homes. But is the plague in our home? It's not in heaven. When we are in God's presence, nothing will defeat us, and the plague won't come near our home. Okay, so let's talk about this physical world. Can God keep the plague, the virus, from being in your home physically? Absolutely. He can. How can He do that? Ooh. This is where it's going to get fun. That or I lose my job. We'll see. My wife and I were going for a walk this week. We're talking about this message, and she threw out like a statement. It was kind of like a flippant statement, and then we started thinking about it, and we're like, you know what, that might be, there could be some truth to that. Does God want you to get the jab, the vaccine, to get it or not to get it? Well, we're calling this the rest of the story series. It's also, some of you might think, the series where Pastor ruins all of our favorite verses. Or it's turning into my t-shirt series. Last month we had a t-shirt to prove the point. Does God want you to get the jab? I don't know. Or as Yoda would say, no, I do not. Or kids with your hashtags, IDK, whatever you choose. Do I get the jab? I don't know. How can God protect us physically? Because He can. Should we get the virus or the vaccine or not? So my wife kind of makes a statement. She's like, you know, I don't know if God really cares whether you do or not. Stay with me. Don't stone me quite yet. And I started thinking about that. Because I've read this thing, and I know many of you have read this thing too. I'm looking for that verse in the book of Jason, chapter 1. Thou shalt not take the vaccine. I'm looking for it. Okay? I haven't necessarily found it. Now, sure, there's some verses in there. But I started thinking about, what does God more care about? Our previous series, over and over again, God is looking at our heart. And I think a lot of times we get into a situation where there's terrors and there's darts and arrows and all these different things. And God, and we're sitting there and we have a decision to make. And God says, go ahead. I'm right here. I'm watching. Just want to see what you do. So this choice is put before you. Take the vaccine. Hashtag, not my president. There's no way I'm going to listen to that guy. I mean, he's crazy. He's off his rocker. If he says have it, CDC, are you kidding me? Those guys are all a bunch of rich people that are just following the money. Fauci, oh, he is a fraud. That guy is a kook. There's no way I'm going to listen to that guy. There's no way I'm taking the vaccine. If my government says I have to do it, ain't happening. And God goes, that's interesting. That's how you make decisions. You're anti-things, anti-people. Okay. Or you're on the other side. Well, it's mandated. I got to do it. It's my job. If I don't, I lose my job. I lose my security, my refuge. I'm very susceptible. This could be devastating to me. I don't want to die. I don't want to put other people at risk. I really don't. This can't happen. And God goes, oh, interesting. That's how you're basing your decision? How will God protect you from the plague? I don't know. But what I do know is when you're in His presence, when you're in His shadow, when you're in His refuge, He will tell you exactly what to do. I know this. Is it to take it or not to take it? I don't know. What is God telling you to do? Well, there's all these statistics and information. Stop it. What did God tell you to do? There's another in the fire. What was that song from? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was their job? They worked for the evil empire. They worked for the bad guys. That was their job. If the administration of this country called you up and said, hey, I'll give you a job in the administration, a lot of you would be like, no way. I ain't working there. No way. And yet, these four characters in the book of Daniel, they work for the bad guys. How can you do that? God told them to? Well, there's no way you can take the vaccine. What if God told you to? Well, He wouldn't do that. Oh. I have to take it. I have to take it. I have to protect myself. Is that the only way God can protect you? Is through it? What does God want you to do? I don't know. God does. And for you, it might be one thing. For me, it might be another. Now, the place where this gets tricky is when things are sin. And sometimes we're trying to throw that on this. Oh, it's a sin to take the vaccine. It's a sin not to take the vaccine. God, what do you want me to do? God, lead me. God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to read your word. I want to trust you. I want to be in your presence. And when I'm there, speak to me. Not with my thoughts, not with my ideas, but what is your idea? If you make Him your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, nothing will touch you, and no plague will come near your home. Verse 11 and 12 are reading. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. See, this is what we want to grab onto. And this is the verse we try to apply to our lives, but probably inaccurately, because it's if. This happens if. The protection comes if. We are living in God's home, God's shelter, God's place. That's where we have to be. But we think we're invincible. Because one day we said, Jesus, I trust you. And then from there, we don't know where we went. But we think we're invincible. But we're not. Even Jesus proved this. Why do we know this verse? Because it comes from Luke chapter 4. Jesus is baptized. He's going into ministry. He's sent into the desert and he's tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. And one of those days, Satan said to him, come up here and jump. And I'll quote you a Bible verse. I'll quote you Psalms 91, where God says he's going to protect you. And Jesus looked over a little bit and came back and said, uh-uh. This is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants. He walks on water, calms a storm. He can do whatever he wants. But he says, no, I'm not going to do that. Why not? The Bible also says not to test God. This is Jesus. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. Some of you here are testing God. I'm invincible. I'm going to pick up snakes. I'm going to get myself in the middle. I'm not going to mask. I'm not going to vaccinate. God, nothing will touch me. And God says, did you ask me? Are you near me? Are you in my presence? Are you in this spiritual place? Or are you just testing me? Because not even my son would do that. The Son of God. Some of us are like, yeah, watch this. And we step out thinking God's got our back. And God says, good luck with that. Have a fun trip down. God can protect you with his angels. If you're in his home, if you're in his shelter, if you're in his shadow, if you're reading his word, if you're trusting him, those are big ifs. And yet we want to jump to the place where we can jump off everything and know that God protects us. Verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. Oh no, one more thing to add to the list. Who does God rescue? Those that love him. Do you love God? Well, it's kind of a love-hate relationship, on and off again. And you're wondering why rescue isn't coming, whether physically or spiritually. Verse 15. Oh, sorry, the rest of 14. I will protect those who trust in my name. There's that word trust again. 15. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them, rescue and honor them. I feel like God's not there. He's not even close. I'm going through all these troubles, which are guaranteed, by the way, and everything's falling apart. Well, are you loving God? Are you in his shelter? Church, these are the things we have to do to be able to take these verses and say, all right, now I'm in God's care. Because when I am close to God and I'm hanging onto his hand, my daddy, and things come my way, it doesn't matter what comes my way. He's going to protect me. He's going to be with me. But if I'm over here, I'll be close. I'll follow some of your rules, God. I'll mostly be with you. God says, you're not under my wings. How can I rescue if you're not with me? God doesn't answer my prayers. Either he's not answering the way you think he should answer, or you're not in his presence, because he won't listen to you if you're not in his presence. Again, you're probably thinking, boy, you're just shredding this chapter 91. I thought it was so good. It is. It is. When we look at it right. Verse 16. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. He started with, if you live in my shelter, if you're in my shadow, and he ends with, you will have my salvation. That's the promise. That's the place we're supposed to live. But this physical stuff happens to us. And this physical stuff will take your life. War, famine, disease, earthquakes, it's going to happen. Your life will be taken. And we're freaking out. And God's like, It's going to happen. Why are you freaking out? If you spend your life on earth with me, it's pretty cool. And yet you're terrors of the night because you're freaking out about your life. But God just said he'll give us a long life. Yes. How long is a long life? Anybody? Eternity's pretty long. Ooh, that's a good life. God will give you that. He'll give you salvation when you're in his presence. When you start to figure this out, that it's not about walking in the physical world, it's a spiritual world next to God. I think it was after Noah, God said, I'm not going to give him more than 120 years. Is that a long life, a physical life on earth? That's pretty long. Do we get that? Let's take, for instance, someone in the Bible who lived in the presence of God perfectly, was always in the shadow of the Most High. His name was Jesus. How long was his long life? 33 years, give or take. Anybody beat that here? Anybody longer than 33 years? Wow, you're living a long life. Some people don't make it at all. Some people don't even make it out of the womb. What is a long life that God guarantees when we're in his presence, in his shadow? What does God guarantee us for time? I did write this down from a commentary I was reading, Pastor Wiersbe. He says, God's servants are immortal until their work is complete. God's servants, those that are in the shadow of the Most High, are invincible. Nothing can touch them. No plague, no disease, no disaster, no war, no arrow, no shotgun, no car accident. You are invincible. Why? Because angels are going to be doing miracles that you hear about and read in books and see on movies. You are invincible. God's servants, when you're in his presence, his shadow, you're invincible until your work is done. When is your work done? Jesus says, it is finished. How did that day start? Well, he was started a little bit earlier for him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and while he was at it, he pulled out his phone and said, hey, Google. Or he said, hey, Siri, what's on my to-do list today from God? Siri said, ding, die on the cross. That was his to-do list for the day. Because his work was completed. He was invincible at that. How many times they tried to kill him? They tried to push him off a cliff. Didn't work. They plotted to kill him. It all fell apart. Why? Because he was invincible. Until the day it said, all done. How long are you going to live? Well, when you're in the presence of God, and building that relationship, you live just long enough to do everything God wants you to do. What does God want you to do? I don't know. But he wants you to do stuff. Are you doing it? Or are you living in sin and disobedience? And sorry, God, I don't want to do it that way. God, I reject that theology. God, no, this isn't really a bad sin. This is, you know, I should be fine. What does God want you to do? What is your work? What is your ministry? And when you're in it, nothing can touch you. I am in the shadow of the Most High. I'm doing the work God has called me, but I don't know when my end is. But when I get up in the morning and it says, today's the end, then it's up to God. And he goes to the wheel of misfortune. You die of the plague. I could die of the virus tomorrow. My work is complete. If my work is finished, I'm not going to fear this. I could die of the plague tomorrow, whether I'm vaccinated or not vaccinated, whether I wear a mask or not, or six masks, or a social distance. Doesn't matter. Are you reading that much on the news? It really doesn't matter. We are not fully protected anywhere except in the shadow of the Most High. That is the only place you are protected. And when you're in that place, you ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Do you want me to do this or not do this? God will tell you. And you are invincible. You cannot be touched. Angels all around you. People are looking at you like, how did that happen? You're a walking miracle. Yeah, because I'm in the shadow of the Most High. And I follow Him. Not statistics or Facebook memes or governments or whatever it is. My own heart. It'll fail you. What does God want you to do? I don't know. But I know where you can get the answer. In the shelter of God, in His home, in His shadow, His spiritual presence, being near to Him, in reading the Word, in trusting Him, in loving Him. That's where you find the answer. And to one person, it might be to the left, and to the other, it might be to the right. I don't know. But why are you taking that left? Because it feels right? Because you've been convinced? Why are you taking a right? Because you don't like those other people and what this person said? Wrong answer. You take a left or a right because God says so. Because the Holy Spirit guides you. And when you do, nothing can touch you. Nothing. I want to live there. Do you want to live there? I want to live there in His presence. Let's pray. God, I know You could eradicate evil. You could take away all hurricanes. You could poof, destroy a virus. But You don't. Sometimes I wonder. The only conclusion I've come to is that to You, they're no big thing. Why do You need to eliminate something that has no power? Because these terrors of the night, these wickedness things in the darkness, have no power in the shadow of the Most High. So You don't care about them. You're not worried about them. But we are. Lord, help us today to desire to be in Your presence. And not just for an hour and 30 minutes, hour 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. Lord, every moment of our life, that we are led, we are guided by You and Your Holy Spirit. And when You say jump, we jump. When You say left, we go left. When You say stop, we stop. Lord, we are obedient to everything You say and do. Lord, that's where we need to be. That's where Jesus was. And Lord, we do the work You put before us, whether we enjoy it or not, whether it's beneficial or not, fulfilling or not, Lord, we want to serve our fellow man and do the work You've given us until our last day. And Lord, if my last day is to fall asleep peacefully in my bed, or if my last day is to die in a car accident, or to be taken by some disease that ravages my body for the last 6 months of my life, it does not matter. What only matters is being in Your presence, in Your home, in Your shadow. Draw us nearer to You, nearer, dear Father. Let us crave this place, being by You with our hands gripping Yours, knowing that no evil, no terror, no arrow, no sickness, nothing can touch us because we live in the kingdom of God. We live in Your presence, which is here on earth and it is in heaven. Help us to serve You and You alone, Lord. Give us Your wisdom and Your direction. And let us see clearly the difference between the physical and the spiritual. And allow us to live victoriously in Your spiritual presence. Thank You, Father. Give You praise for this in Jesus' name.